This is Investigator Mike Augustine, this Volusia County Sheriff's Office conducting an interview reference case number 0733431. Today's date is September 27, 2007. Time now is approximately 5 minutes to midnight, 11:55. I'm here at 1354 Indian Lake Road, also known as the Volusia County Corrections Facility in Daytona Beach, Florida. I'm here interviewing Officer Bauer?
Yes.
First name?
Jennifer.
Okay. And just ID-wise, it won't go into what's your date of birth?
January 2nd, 62.
And you're employed here as a correction officer, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I also have two Volusia County correction officers in public safety.
Captain Marzaleski, Captain with the Department of Public Protection, Internal Affairs Unit, also Captain Zoffmeyer, who has recently been assigned to the Internal Affairs Division, who is also both law enforcement officers.
Okay. Do you have phone numbers to contact just in case I need it later?
Sure. 254-1691. That's a good number for both of us.
Both? Okay. Earlier this evening, you had an inmate, and I'm probably butchering her name. Camille?
Camille.
Morel?
Muriel.
Muriel, thank you. And what do you call it? Pod? Cell? I don't know.
She was in the cell in the block.
Okay, what block? Can you?
H block.
Okay, H North block, East. And what cell was she in? H
11.
Block? 11. Okay, what time is usually the inmates put down to bed, or was it even bedtime, or?
No, Sergeant Payne had gone in and done her checks on all the segregated inmates.
Okay. Is that a segregation unit?
Yes.
Okay.
And about an hour later, I went in with the medic to pass medication out to the inmates that receive it.
Okay. About what time was that, just roughly?
That was about 22:15.
Okay.
That we went into the block.
Okay.
And, she was the third cell in.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was walking ahead of Mike Westmore.
Okay, and
he's the medic.
Medic, okay.
And when I got to her cell, I peeked through the chow flap.
And that's a window that opens into the cell?
There's two windows up above,
okay.
And then the chow flap where we slide
their food
tray through. And that's when I spotted her. And I just immediately called the code white, which is our code for suicide.
Okay. When you mean you spotted her, can you go on? I'm not trying to traumatize you any further or what you observed, but I do need an observation of what you saw.
What I saw was what looked like a CPR mannequin hanging from a shoestring from the upper bunk of the bed, and she was...
So the shoestring was tied off to an upper bunk?
Upper bunk of the bed.
Bunk.
Right.
And was she on a lower bunk, or was she off the lower bunk, or... Can you describe that? Was there anybody else inside the cell?
No, she was in a single...
She's a segregated...
She was a single inmate in a double cell.
Okay. Was she clothed?
She was wearing a blue t-shirt and her orange county-issued pants and her tennis shoes.
Okay.
Which, that's what she took the shoestrings out of to tie to the upper bunk.
Okay.
That was draped around her neck.
You see, just to clarify... You seen her other shoes? Because I don't recall it, but it's consistent with the other shoe laces
she
had on.
It's her personal shoes.
Okay, but it's consistent. The shoelaces are consistent with that.
Yes, because last night when she was brought in,
mm-hmm.
and we did a mental health referral on her, Mike said, "Let me have your shoestrings."
Okay.
Because she has been on suicide watch before when she was here previously.
She's been incarcerated prior.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
She was released on the 19th. Of
Were you familiar with her then?
Yes, sir.
What was her demeanor back then?
Back then, she was, talking about her son and the case where she got arrested,
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And her dad, she's from New Jersey, and I think she was born in Brooklyn or something like this. And her dad was a police chief of some little town in New Jersey. I know that much about her.
Mm-hmm. Did she indicate any suicide intentions back then?
What happened was she had taken her inhaler when she was in the block, also in lockdown, and scraped her right arm with it.
Well,
as attempting to
slice
her wrist. And that's, she was placed on a 4-point suicide watch because that way she couldn't
have a violent or anything like that?
She was aggressive to me on the 19th, the day she got released.
When we were
back. Right.
How about recently? Any violence?
No.
Does she have any trouble with any other inmates that you know of?
No.
Okay. Okay, I digressed a little bit. All right. So we're in the cell block. Do you observe her hanging from the top bunk from a shoelace that's consistent with her shoes?
She was in a sitting position.
Thank you.
Like she had tied the shoestring to the top bunk, brought it around her neck, and was sitting in front of the lower bunk, which was made up with her mattress and her sheets and stuff, and was sitting in front of that on the floor. Her left arm draped over to the side, her right arm, I believe, was in her lap, and her legs were kind of bent, like she had just was going to be sitting down with her knees, I believe they were facing toward the door to the left.
Okay.
And I called the code.
Now, what was her appearance, such as, did she look appear blue or anything? Or?
Very, very pasty. There was no color.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said she looked like a mannequin, a CPR mannequin.
Did either you or, I think you said Mike?
Mike.
Was the other guy?
Right.
Did you check for a pulse or anything like that?
At that time, no. The door was closed.
Okay. And then when you called
the code? And when I called the code, I don't know. I was still looking at her because I was... It was like...
Am I seeing what I'm seeing?
Right. And I was looking for movement or something.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, the door is opening and I'm still staring at the inmate through the chow flap. And I just stepped to the side and Mike and then medic Jack Ross went into the cell. And Jack cut her down while Mike was...
Do you know what he cut her down with? Just so I know.
Scissors.
Okay.
He had some scissors, I guess, in his pocket.
Yeah. Okay.
And they cut her down, and then they were like, well, let's lay her down.
Okay.
Next thing I know, Sergeant Painter and Lieutenant...
So both of them laid her down?
On the floor.
It was pretty much the same position that I observed her
in? Yes, sir.
Okay.
And Lieutenant Salty and Sergeant Painter went into the cell.
Mm-hmm.
They were checking for a pulse, or I guess Mike and Jack were checking for a pulse then and started CPR.
Okay.
They left because they were looking for a CPR mask, but Mike was back before you know it with an ambi bag.
Okay.
And they innovated
her.
And they, while Jack was doing the chest compressions, Sergeant Painter was
doing the
ambi bag, and Mike was getting some other supplies.
Your okay. And she had no vitals, no signs of life, and she was unresponsive to any of the life-saving measures. Is that basic?
Yes.
Okay. One other thing that I'm aware of, the reason she was in segregation was she was placed on suicide watch due to a call-in from an outside friend or something to that effect, or something?
Past history.
Okay. So she was placed on the suicide watch, to my knowledge, at 14:38 hours earlier today on the 27th.
Well,
and then at 18:45 hours, she was taken off, I understand?
That's day shift.
I'm just asking. 18:45, you became aware that she was no longer on suicide watch? Or
I didn't come to work till 2000.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add or delete from your statement? Anything else you think is relevant to my investigation that would help me or assist me?
That was the first time that I had seen her was when I found her, because I was on another...
Did any of the other inmates declare that she may have made suicide statements? Did you see any suicide notes? Did you see any indications of suicide or anything like that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. That's all I'm asking. What you know and what you've seen, smell, breathe, all that stuff.
Okay.
Is there anything else?
I don't know of anything else.
I don't know of anything else. You have...
Yeah, can I ask you a question? When you were, when you first came on duty, did you have any conversation with her at all?
No, sir. I was on Southwood assisting because Officer Hardy was going to be a couple hours late for work. So I was with Officer Miranda on South Wing until Officer Hardy reported to duty, at which time I went to North Wing. And I walked up on the unit. Mike was there. I think left was to do H-Blocks med. And so up and says, would you go in there with him and do med pass with him? I said, yeah, sure, no problem. And they led us into the block, and I announced our presence, and then we proceeded, you know, with cell 9 going down the line.
None of the other officers indicated that she was having any turmoil or difficulty.
So that was the first time I saw her this evening was the position that she was in. But when I left work this morning, she was she had eaten her breakfast. Way back to train, she was sleeping on her bunk.
I guess I missed the part on the shoelaces. How did she get the shoelaces?
Well, see, last night when she came in, and because I talked to Sergeant Painter about it, because of I had just done a 362 on her on the 19th because of a sort of well. When we were hooking her up to take her to court, she whipped around on me and pulled the string. And all she said was, I hate you. And all I wanted to do was pull her pants up, because they were falling off.
Can you explain also to the record what 362
is? 362 is a disciplinary report. And she whipped around on me. Well, then we had the next 2 days off after she went to court that day. When we came back, she had been released on probation. And then she got rearrested yesterday and came in last night. And I talked to Sergeant Painter because, you know, I said, should she go right back into lockdown? And she said, yeah, did the mental health referral on her? And we'll put her in have medical talk to her, and they put her on a 15-minute watch. And basically every 15 minutes, you know, I checked on her. She was on her bunk sleeping all night long. Go for breakfast and stood up and had breakfast. And after Mike talked to her, or while he was talking to her, he says, let me have your shoestrings. I said, no, take the whole shoes. Just because it's so much easier that way. And so she passed her shoes out last night when we were off the band. And I had them, and then I know she went to first appearance today.
Standard practice when somebody is released from a constant watch when they get the property next.
Yes, it is. And
can you explain also real quick the housing for a constant watch? The housing for somebody not on constant watch, just get a record so that they understand.
Yeah. Constant watch inmates, suicide watch, they are relieved of all property and their clothing and given a heavy blanket.
Where they housed
at? They're housed the bottom tier of an H block on North Wing. And an officer is positioned outside the door to have visual contact, or either sight or sound contact with them at all times during their shift. And they, just a 15 minutes segregated watch for mental health. They do have bed linens, and they have their clothing, and they will have other property in their, you know, toiletry items and things like this. And then, even though I am accustomed to checking on them more than every 15 minutes, it is required that we look at them every 15 minutes, make sure that they are still breathing or communicate with them. So,
if somebody that's not on a suicide watch would not be housed in the same?
Well, upstairs segregation is the disciplinary's lockdowns for the segregated inmate.
The suicide watches are kept on the bottom. When you're released from a suicide watch, you're moved to
upstairs or wherever available. Yes. But because she had been a problem and she was a two-officer inmate, because she had been known to be aggressive to staff or threatening staff, she was left in H block.
Is H block the heavy handling block, or is it just a lockdown block now?
It's just lockdown block. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Sure.
For that? Okay. Any other thing you want to say?
When I left, she did not have custody of her tennis shoes. And then, like I said, she was first appearance. And from what I gather, mental health spoke to her today.
What was her charge, do you know?
Yeah, she was possession of crack cocaine.
Okay. Alright.
And the last time she was here, I believe it was about the same charge.
Okay. Okay. Everything you told me is truthful, factual, best of your knowledge?
Yes, sir.
This includes my interview. Today is now September 28th, and time now is 00:00. 10 hours.
Thank you.